Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable. We got quite the crew for you today. So, of course, I'm Tommy. Sitting over there is Jamie. How you doing, man?
What's going on, yo?
And then we got our boy Cabbage here. How you doing, Cabbage?
All right.
We have Spencer. What's up, Spencer?
Oh, not much. Glad I was able to make it today.
Me too. We've got Josh. How you doing, Josh?
Hey, good. Glad to be here.
Awesome. And for the first time on the round table, we've got Firestorm. How you doing, man?
Hey, man. I am great. Glad to be here.
We are glad to have you. And have to mention, Canada well represented on the show today. We've got two Canadians amongst us and an Australian. We've got as many international people as we do Americans on the show right now, which is awesome and a little nuts to me. So
yeah, you know what's funny is that we've always had a good international audience. I think it's funny that the United States, for the most part, doesn't get us, and the rest of the world's like, yeah, they're all right.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'll take it. Whatever works. So, playing for the roundtable day, it's kind of see where it goes. But we are going to talk a little bit about the Game Awards because that happened last week, and so we've got that kind of fresh. And we also just need to talk about some games because it's been a while since we've done a roundtable. And for instance, Red Dead is here. We haven't talked about it, and so we will talk about some games as well. But before we do that, let's quickly chat a little bit about the Game Awards because I'm curious to what people thought about the Game Awards, both where they are now this year and kind of the evolution of the Game Awards over the past few years. So I'm going to break protocol here a little bit. I want to bring in Jamie first because we haven't talked about this yet. So Jamie, what are your thoughts on the Game Awards?
Well, a couple of things here because I did watch the entire thing. I split it over 2 days standing in the rack. You know, when you're in the rack, you can't really go anywhere. You can't do anything. And so I decided to watch the Game Awards. And it was better, but there were still lots and lots of parts of it that, to me, were legitimately cringy. And I know we talked about that word a couple of months ago, and I didn't really understand what it meant. Now I do. That show should be in the dictionary next to that word because it was, like, to me, the entire thing was, like, Keeley was trying so hard. Like, he just wanted it to be good, and it was awkward in a lot of places. It really was.
I'm curious some specifics there. I'd like to know where you thought it was. I'm not disagreeing. I just want to hear where you.
Well, okay. Like I love the idea of the orchestra, but I thought it was weird that they made all of these people and all of these folks that have obviously worked so hard on their craft. At the end of the day, each of the songs sounded like a synth. You know, it's like okay, we're going to do this like 8-bit music. And then he really, really, really tried hard to get lots of developers up there to talk about their games. And it just seemed like none of them really knew what to do.
Well, these are game developers. These are like the nerdiest, like, behind the scenes people. Like most of these people are not in front of the media like a Todd Howard, so I get what you're saying, but that
the other thing is even the guys that are supposed to know, like Phil and Reggie, I was like, wow, this is
it was very award showy. It was very the prompt, and it's very just like, you know, sterile.
Canned comedy.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe the best thing you could say about it in general is that they kind of pulled off an award show. Like it felt like the Oscars or the Grammys or something else. I will say on the music point, the fact that they had Hans Zimmer come out playing a guitar, I did not expect that. That was kind of awesome. And like it
it he goes on like, tour doing that. It's
spectacular,
great.
But that was unexpected to be at the Game Awards. That was cool.
One other thing on the music side, I was legitimately blown away and shocked that they got Daniel Lanois, because I didn't realize that he had done some of that music for Red Dead.
Yeah.
And I know him because Dave Matthews covers a lot of his stuff. And because of that, I started listening to him, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
Some of
the people they brought out, I was legitimately kind of shocked by. Like, wow, that's a kind of a big name person, a few of them in there. So yeah. It was awkward and kitschy and all the things award shows are. And I will say that I love the fact that Reggie and Phil and Sean all came out at the beginning. I thought that was great. Can we be honest that they're all three kind of awkward presenters anyway? Like, yeah. Sean's the worst. He's just awful. But all three of them are just kind of cold. Even Reggie, who I really like, when he's presenting, just feels stiff and corporate and awkward. And as cool as that moment was, because it was just fun to see all three of them up there together. And they always, like, even at E3, they always feel stifled, you know. So it was kind of par for the course for those guys to me. And those are the guys that should be better at it.
Well, and what I thought was interesting, and from a corporate side of things, there were a ton of ads in the stream, which I didn't have a problem with, because that's how you pay for crap. But I thought it was kind of interesting that in a lot of ways, they were really trying to make it all about the games, and in some spaces it was more about the presenters. I mean, a couple of those guys, like that guy Ninja with the green hair and the YouTubers, like I have no idea.
I have a comment
YouTubers
on that.
Are. Like, I have no idea. Like, I guess if I'm 12 I would get it, but I really don't.
Can we acknowledge how that award was literally just all Fortnite streamers, and the guy who won is just the guy who is the most popular?
Yeah.
That streams Fortnite. They might as well just name it Most Popular Fortnite Streamer Award. Like, it's just silly. That stuff's silly to me, but...
Me too, I don't get it at all. But to be fair, Fortnite's by far the biggest streaming.
No, team. It's just the Fortnite economy of Twitch right now, you know? Yes. It's like every big Twitch streamer is going to stream Fortnite because that's the thing.
Yeah.
So it's just, it looks silly is what I mean. It ends up just being like a silly award because you're just awarding the most popular Twitch Fortnite streamer, really. So
that's fair. Cabbage, other thoughts that you had about the show in general?
Yeah. I just want to say I called the award for Game of the Year.
Yes.
Although I didn't actually think that was going to happen. I was doing my little thing where I make a hot take and assume that it's totally wrong, but it ended up being right. I actually do think that that's the correct choice.
I do too.
You know, now that we'll get into it because we're going to talk about Red Dead. I think Red Dead is absurdly amazing, but I think God of War is probably a better game. And we'll get into that, but
I think I would do it the opposite with God of War being best narrative, because I just don't think of Red Dead. It's great.
Oh yeah, and is that what they won? Right, they won. Yeah.
Red Dead
won
best narrative.
And see, for a while it felt like they were going to sweep. Yeah, it felt like they were just going to sweep everything, but then, you know, we get the best director and best. The Game Awards are now becoming the Oscars, where most of the time, you know, the movie that wins for directing ends up winning for like overall for best picture. So that's kind of what they did this year. Yeah. I actually thought they were going to split it. I thought what I really thought they were going to do was give Corey the game direction, and then Game of the Year was going to go Red Dead, because it just seemed like, you know, especially because it was like closer to the awards kind of thing. Red Dead was this huge thing for all these reviewers that gave this insane score, and not that it's not deserving, but I just kind of figured, Red Dead's going to take it, and it's fine because it's great. I love it too. But yeah. I just kind of feel like God of War is a better package game. Anyway, but other than that, I love Monster Hunter World, so I'm glad it got the best RPG, even though a lot of people were mad about that. I just love that game, so it's cool to see that.
Can I also mention that Christopher Judge is a big dude?
Oh, yeah, and I loved, can we talk about his outfit to be a little bit, again, more award showy, because it was talking about outfit. His outfit was just insane, and of course, somehow he pulls that off because he's just badass.
Yeah.
But no, there's just lots of cool things. I thought it was cool that Celeste was nominated and won some awards. I actually haven't played it, but I'm aware of it. It looks cool. You know, it's the small little thing, and it's just, and I also liked the orchestra before the Game of the Year award being presented, where they went through, like, it was like a medley of all the scores. I thought it was great the way they blended all that together. I thought, just from a presentation standpoint, it was really fun. And they brought, like, people from each of those teams that worked on the music to perform with it. That's cool. I know it's a little bit sort of fan servicey, but, like, it's cool.
Yeah. So I agree with that. It feels much different than what the Spike Video Game Awards were, when it felt like they were trying to get Snoop Dogg on stage all the time to, like,
this is
other end of the spectrum where it's super nerdy and like, at points too nerdy for me. Like, there was stuff that I was like, oh my goodness, this is really, really nerdy. So, which is great. So, Firestorm, did you get a chance to see it or have any thoughts about it?
You know, one of my favorite moments of the night was actually, you know, Jamie's talking about ads, when Obsidian comes out with the Outer Worlds trailer. And soon as it says, from the original creators of Fallout and Fallout New Vegas, you know it's going to be awesome. and it's amazing to me that, you know, people complain about, you know, guys using older engines and stuff, and you see that trailer and it's using the same engine that New Vegas was done in, and it's so much better than, you know, Fallout 76. It just looks better. It was awesome.
New Vegas done in Unreal?
That's what I understand, that they're using the same thing, right? And it's,
I thought they were using Unreal, but you know,
just looks. It looks.
But no, the game looks great.
Yeah.
I gotta be. When I saw that, look, I got legitimately excited because all of the rest of this stuff is really cool. But when you tell me, hey, we're going back to the same people that built Vegas, give me that for 60 hours.
Exactly. Like,
I understand that Fallout 4 is great. I get it. I'm trying to get into it, but it ain't New Vegas.
Yeah. Also, new tease of Dragon Age. We didn't say anything about it, really, but that's it there and coming. There were a few kind of newsy announcements during this show as well, which is super cool. Josh, thoughts? Did you get a chance to see it or have any thoughts about it?
I didn't get to see any of it, actually. I saw a couple of, you know, news articles after the fact. I don't really have an opinion one way or the other, but I do agree that historically I've never really been that interested in game awards as such. I think the Spike Awards have, like, scarred me. Whenever I hear game awards, that's what I immediately just think of. But on the other hand, I mean, that's sort of, once it no longer becomes, you know, cringy and sort of lighthearted, I don't know, maybe it ends up going the complete other way and it's just super clinical and institutionalized, and then it loses a bit of its soul. So I guess I think we're in a good place at the moment. I don't mind it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Spencer, what about you?
I didn't get a chance to watch it, but yeah, I kind of caught some of the news articles about it, and yeah, it's whatever. I don't see why I need to. Why do I need to watch it? I'm going to play the games that I play. I'm not going to buy a game because it didn't win an award or.
That is 100% fair. absolutely. Game awards. Weird, interesting, kind of fun thing in the industry. I do like that. Jeff is doing a good job with it and is passionate about it. At least there's something, and it is cool for the industry to have that recognition.
I want to ask before we get off that, because I'm curious. Do you guys think that this is his main thing now, Like, do you guys think we'll see him doing other stuff? Because he worked for GameSpot for a long time, and now he's doing this, and I'm wondering if this is what he's doing 24/7.
I think it's mostly what he's doing. I follow him on Twitter. I mean, I don't see him doing a lot of other stuff. So it's his main thing. I don't know if it's his only thing, but that's primarily his world now. So
boy, what a great job to have,
right?
Like, yeah.
But it is what it is. It's always going to be awkward and weird, but for awkward and weird, I think it was executed about as well as it could be. So I'm excited to watch it again next year. It's fun. It's silly and stupid, but
yeah, I think it's genuinely gotten better every year, but
I do too.
Just like Spencer said, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just like the Oscars, which I think is an absolute shit show every year. Basically watch the good movies that you like. And that's, I'm whatever, like, follow the people that you actually enjoy their perspective on. Like, a movie or a game getting an award doesn't really matter at all. So
it's all about, like, fan service. If you loved God of War, then, like, you probably thought the Game Awards were awesome. And if you thought God of War was dumb, which I don't know anybody who does, but if you do, you probably think the Game Awards are dumb because they thought God of War was awesome. So
I'll tell you what I want to see for next year that I'm really excited about. I hope there's another God of War, and I hope that Christopher Judge plays Kratos, because I know it was in the teleprompter, but when they were presenting that award, and he looks down at the kid and says, "Read it, boy!
Read it, boy!"
I lost it. Like, that was cool.
That was my favorite part of the show. I enjoyed that. All that being said, let's talk about some video games. And so I'm going to go kind of in reverse order this time. So Spencer, coming back to you, what have you been playing lately?
A little bit of everything. GTA. I'm just going through my recently played and been through. And you're probably going to shame me for it, but Call of Duty and
hey, I played that too.
Stalker. I'm a masochist, and I'm trying to beat Doom on Nightmare.
Nice. How's that going for you?
It's not going very well. There's a lot of brick walls and swearing and frustration.
Awesome.
Yeah. I want to try and beat it on Ultra Nightmare at one point, but
Spencer, I have a question for you, because I played a fair bit of Stalker back in the day. Did you just decide to go back through that? Because you talk about a game that is genuinely, it's probably not large by today's standards, but I remember thinking, man, this is huge, and it's not necessarily easy. So what made you go back to it?
A friend of mine on stream said, "You're going to play Stalker, and I'm going to watch and laugh as you bang your head against it."
That's what you do. I mean, it's hard.
And I'm also playing it on the hardest difficulty the first time.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that. That's dumb.
Because I'm a masochist?
Apparently.
Yeah. The first time I beat Doom, I beat it on Ultraviolence. First time I beat Wolf, I beat them on the hardest difficulty you get on your first run. And yeah, I just enjoy beating games at the hardest difficulty.
God bless you, man. I'm like, can I tone this down farther than the lowest level? Like, I have no shame in playing games on easy. Like, not at all. So.
We used to, not anymore.
Right. Like, as I've gotten older, like, nah. I've got no shame in that.
I want to have a nice playthrough. I don't want to. Yeah. I can respect that. But.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. God bless you, man.
Spencer, my son would tell you need to play Bloodborne on its hardest, and now he said that is like the most difficult thing he's ever seen.
Well, I also just picked up Dark Souls 3 to play as well.
Ooh,
nice.
That's going to make you want to kill yourself.
I have a feeling he's tempered a bit, so he might not find much of a challenge with that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man. Good for you. Josh, what about you? What have you been playing?
Not a lot. Most.
Yeah, you would imagine. Yeah. I guess that's fair.
Yeah. I did pick up Red Dead, and I've put a fair few hours into it, and I've absolutely, blown away by that world. Really enjoying that. I haven't touched online yet, but it doesn't look like I'm in a rush to try that from what I've seen. To be honest, the what I've been playing the most recently has been Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition because they released
awesome.
Yeah, well, they released the mobile version, so I can play that on my phone. So that's what I've been playing the most of at the moment.
I'm telling you, having good games on your phone while you have a baby in your arms asleep is a really nice thing.
Yeah.
So on that, do they have, does Neverwinter on your phone have co-op? Because if it does, Tommy and I need to be playing that.
Oh, it's amazing. It is 100% feature complete, compatible, everything with the PC version. So all your save games, all the modules, multiplayer, crossplay, everything works no matter what platform you're on. So, yeah.
Dude, we're doing that. We're doing that.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I sync the saves between my PC and my phone, so I just swap between them, pick up and go. It's so good. They've done a really good job with it.
That's fantastic. We'll come back to Red Dead in a little bit, so we may pick your brain a little bit more on Red Dead here in a second. Firestorm, what have you been playing?
Oh, you know, I've been playing quite a bit of different stuff from some of the PlayStation Plus games that had come out recently. I finished The Bridge and Sparkle 2, but the big one that I've been putting most of the time into is Horizon Zero Dawn, which I had picked up, and it had sat here, and it had sat here, and man, I got into that, and I have loved every minute of Horizon Zero Dawn. I think I finished the game and I'm at 90%, but it's one of those games kind of like GTA where you want to keep playing even after the credits roll and pick up every collectible. And, you know, I've got the shield armor now, which is awesome. I should have got that earlier. it would have made the big final battle a lot easier having that. But yeah, it's such a great game, good narrative and strong gameplay. It's one of my favorite games for sure. I finished The Inpatient in VR.
Interesting. How was that?
You know, I'm a fan of, you know, thriller mystery type games. It left me a little bit cold. It was pretty short. And unbeknownst to me, when I played it, I didn't realize that there was a connection between that game, actually, and Until Dawn. I wasn't aware of that kind of until later in the game, which was cool. But it was a little short. There were parts of it that I thought were done well, but it was also kind of glitchy. So you'd be in the midst of something, all of a sudden it would like bail completely and kick you out of the game. So there were some bugs, but overall, you know, I would say it was fair. I wouldn't say it was fantastic. Certainly not like Zero Dawn or that experience. I finished Static, which is a really cool VR game, puzzle game. And I got a question for you guys to see what your experience is. I've been playing Here They Lie and Resident Evil 7 on the VR, which is like a really immersive. It's almost so immersive. I read an article because I'm struggling with some motion sickness with both of those titles, where I can play other VR games, it doesn't bother me. But those two titles, I don't know if it's because you're breathing shallow because of the stress and tension of the game, and shallow breathing can help with that nausea feeling. But I'm having trouble playing it for more than 15, 20 minutes, each of those two, just because it just starts to get to me. And it's awesome. And it Resident Evil 7, I mean, there's nothing like that so far in VR in my experience for being like scared crapless in the game. But I'm having trouble playing it for any length of time.
Okay, anyway, so... I applaud you, sir, because I love Resident Evil. I've loved Resident Evil my whole life. I have not picked up 7 for two reasons. One of which is the first Resident Evil that I can honestly say scares the crap out of me. I've never been really afraid of Resident Evil, but I've seen enough of 7 that it's like, I don't know about that.
It is scary.
Yeah. And my other reason for not doing it is I really think that it's built to play in VR. And so I want to talk to you about that. I know the motion sickness is a thing for you, which I think it would be for most people, because Resident Evil is a lot more intense, I think, than most of the VR games out there. And so I think it's going to get to you physically.
Yes.
But other than the motion sickness, which you may or may not be able to solve, can you imagine yourself playing it any other way?
Oh, I think so. I haven't tried, bailing on it yet completely and going back to just playing it normally, but because I want to push through this. I'm wondering if I've got my dad's on some oxygen. Maybe I should take some of his oxygen. It might help me out. But yeah. But another question I had for you guys is, so I'm kind of, now that I've got Horizon Zero Dawn pretty much in the bag, I've got a back catalog of a couple games, and wondering what you guys would
just
think.
Just a like, couple.
What should I? Yeah, just a couple. I'll give you the top five. I've got God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead 2, The Witcher 3, and Firewall Zero Hour with the AIM controller bundle. So those are the five that I've got kind of on deck, wondering. And I know the Game Awards just selected God of War, so that's kind of that was the one that I was thinking was the no-brainer to step into next. But I wanted to hear from you guys and see what if you guys would all feel the same or what you think.
I would say God of War in part with those others that are in there, just because it's going to be the shorter experience that you could get through it a little bit quicker than you're going to get through Red Dead or get through The Witcher. Even though it's a fantastic world, it's rich and deep, it's just not near as long as one of those more epic RPGs are. And so, awesome. And it's fantastic. And so I think it would be a good bridge into whatever you go to next after that. But I think God of War would be a good option.
Nice.
Yeah, I would actually say God of War, because if you're playing Horizon, I'm going to tell you that Red Dead is Horizon times about 5. And so when you start playing that, you're not going to want to leave it.
And on the other side of that, coming straight off of Horizon, which is a game that controls so well, Red Dead will frustrate the tar out of you when you first pick it up, because it is so slow. Horizon's just so good at the controls, like it just feels so good, and Red Dead is not. So put a break in between that and you play Red Dead, because it's fan freaking tastic, but yeah, it would frustrate you to no end for the first 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, I think my son's still playing that one anyway, so that's a good transition. I agree. Awesome. That sounds great. Hey, I noticed one thing too. I don't know if anybody else on here is into VR or not, but if you have the AIM controller, I saw today on the store that Farpoint is dropped down to like $11, which is pretty awesome. Nice. So just for those of you that are into space games and VR games, that's a pretty good buy. So
hey Duff, I know you listening. You heard the man. We need that. I'm just saying.
Throw that out there. Cabbage, what about you? What have you been playing?
Well, so, yeah, obviously I played Red Dead since we last did this, but So we're probably going to like do a separate thing for that, yep. maybe. Okay, so I won't talk about it. So other than that, I would say the most notable things I think people should play are both. Well, I think both of these are PC exclusives. They might also be on consoles. But so, yes, again, to tie back to the Game Awards, they showed a bunch of games were like kind of announced or shown there. Yeah. Outer Worlds is probably the one I'm most excited for that isn't out yet, but in terms of stuff I played, they showed a couple things that the Epic Games Store that they've sort of been launching recently has. So Supergiant Games, which of course people know for like Bastion and Transistor, all kinds of games. They put out a new game called Hades. It's technically an early access, I guess. Which is always like, you don't know what that means anymore, because it feels like a complete game to me, but we've had other games do that too, like Dead Cells was in early access for forever, but it always felt pretty complete to me, I guess. And it is a kind of roguelike-ish. But I mean, if you play their games, you know the kind of stuff they do. I think it's definitely worth $20. It's like an isometric third-person real-time little combat game. And, you know, like people expect from roguelikes, you're progressing through different rooms and you can kind of choose what kind of reward you're maybe going to get from that room. And every time you die, you still have progress with what you've... I mean, people know what roguelikes are all about. So you can know what to expect from that. But I think that's really good. So I've been playing that. And I've been playing Ashen, which is another game that I think is also exclusive to that platform.
Dude, what you put on the Facebook page, you got to talk to us about that because I got to know what the deal is there.
Yeah. And so I will say the thing I said there is just what I was getting at is that it just kind of blends a bunch of elements of different of those games. What did I say? I think I said like Breath of the Wild and of course Dark Souls. It's most like Dark Souls. It's like immediately is going to strike everybody as being Dark Souls like, but it has Breath of the Wild elements and like how it uses weapons and like weapon loadout stuff. And kind of how the world feels. Cause Breath of the Wild is like its world because of its art style and stuff just has a certain like feel to it. Like, you know, it's part of why you wanted to explore and it taps into that. And I'm noticing games trying to do more Breath of the Wild stuff in that way. So like there's that part of it. But it also has a team, and I mentioned Team Ico. Like, it has a Team Ico feel to it, too. Like, how stuff will happen with boss fights, or how you'll see these, like, majestic creatures all of a sudden in the wild. It's like, okay, this feels inspired by, you know, Ico or Shadow of the Colossus.
Am I going to hate it on mouse and keyboard?
Well, I don't know, because it's definitely a game that I like, if I'm playing a Dark Souls kind of game, I'm just going to use a controller. I mean, that's what you got to do. So I've been playing with the, you know, Xbox One controller. So I don't know. It might play well with a mouse and keyboard, but I haven't tried it, so I can't speak on that. But I like it because it's a $40 game, and it definitely feels like a sort of smaller game, but it also feels like it does things within that Dark Souls genre that I like that somebody's doing. Like, it actually has a quest structure to it that makes sense and, you know, points you in directions and as opposed to something being absurdly vague. And yeah, that's part of the fun of the Dark Souls games. They're trying for different things, but I just like being told like, hey, here's the quest and here's your progress on it. Here's what we need you to find and here's where we need you to go. And here's a mini map and all that stuff. Like, I like those things being introduced into the Dark Souls-ish kind of genre that From Software doesn't do. So I don't know if any of that sounds cool. And there's another thing to it that I think is cool. So like what you do in this game essentially is you're trying to like rebuild a little civilization while, you know, as you're progressing in these quest lines. So like every time you go out and do a quest line, you'll come back and all of a sudden like the city that you've kind of established essentially is like being built. So at first, it's like a bunch of people in huts And then the more people you bring back and help and do things for, all of a sudden they're actually building these buildings up. And Tommy's all of a sudden
getting really excited. Just keep talking. Tommy's going to get real excited.
But it also has this cool thing with its multiplayer that's a lot like Journey. Because, in Journey, the game didn't tell you, hey, now a guy's playing with you. Like, you never knew if a person was there or not, or if it was controlled by an actual human being. Like, this game does that, because there's been tons of times where all of a sudden somebody's been with me when I'm in a dungeon or something. I was like, oh, okay, I can tell it's a person by how they're moving, but the game didn't actually tell me that. Like, they look basically like the AI people that will come and help you depending on what quest you're on. So it's that cool Journey thing where you can hit a button that does a symbol that doesn't really mean anything on its own, but it's basically the player's way of telling another guy, hey, come follow me or whatever. So it's just mixing all these cool elements together in a way that I think is so far working pretty well. So I wouldn't say it's as hard as Dark Souls, but it's still the same thing of you got to watch your stamina, and there's a lot of dodging and blocking, and you can't just spam the attack because your stamina is going to run out and all that stuff you expect from it. So, and if you die, you drop your currency or souls or whatever you want to think of it, and you got to go get it back. So it's playing in that sort of area, but it does a lot of different interesting stuff that I thought was cool. So
the visual style of it looks super cool to me.
Yes, it's
it looks very cool. So I will pick it up at some point.
And I will say, if you have game, I think this is the one that, if you have Game Pass on Xbox, it's included with it for, I don't know if it's forever or whatever, but so you don't even have to pay for it if you have Game Pass. So you definitely should install it anyway. So
yeah, that's awesome. we'll come back to Red Dead here in just a second. I do want to mention something that I've been playing that isn't Red Dead, because I haven't hardly touched Red Dead in 3 weeks at this point. But Cabbage brought it up around the Game Awards. I went out and picked up Celeste after the Game Awards. I've been playing with that over the past week or so. And it's great. It is obviously very different than all the AAA titles that were nominated for Game of the Year. It's a roguelike. It's a Metroidvania kind of thing, but it's like the kind of super challenging. I compare it to the end game because I played the end game so much.
Oh, it's one of those. Hello.
It's like the end game meets Metroidvania, that each screen that you go into, there's a very intricate platforming process to get through it, and you'll die many, many, many times before you can figure out the exact timing and all that stuff. And so it's going back to what Spencer was talking about. You got to be a little bit of a masochist to play it, because it's a game you will die over and over and over and over and over on. But it's also super rewarding, because when you get through one of the stages, you feel really good, and then the next room's just that bit more hard. And so then you just struggle again and you go through it. But it also has this kind of underlying story that revolves around kind of mental health. And so it won at the Game Awards, it won the award for games for impact, or I don't remember exactly how they call it.
That was it, exactly. Games for Impact.
And so it won that, and deservingly so, because it approaches kind of mental illness in a really interesting way. And it has this kind of deep undercurrent and just how it lays out this narrative on top of this kind of Metroidvania platformer that makes you want to bang your head against the wall. But it's cool. It's got this cool kind of pixel style to it. They did a really great job with it. And so I would definitely recommend it. It didn't have a chance for Game of the Year. It was nice of them to nominate it, kind of thing. It doesn't stand up with something like God of War, Red Dead, or whatever, obviously, but in itself and what it is, it's fantastic, and it's got me totally hooked. And so it's a really good one too to play for 5 minutes and then multitask, which I do a lot of. And so it's really nice to be able to just pull it up for a few minutes and just work on trying to figure out that pattern or trying to get to the next screen, and then I can pause it and take a good break and come back to it. And so if you see me on Steam and it says I'm playing Celeste, I'm almost certainly not, but about 5 minutes an hour I will be. And so it's a good time. So Jamie, anything you've been playing recently?
I said on the last show that I was playing Life is Strange Before the Storm, and I really thought Before the Round Table I was going to finish it, but I haven't. Those games are long. Like, that one needs to be available on the phone, because those episodes are legit 4 hours apiece. And so the last time I sat down with it, I had two, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna finish this. I'm gonna finish this episode. It's gonna be all good. Well, I didn't, because those of you that know have, you know, Tommy's got the kid, and you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on there. If you got kids and you got jobs, which I've got, don't have a lot of time, and I thought Life is Strange would solve that, but it hasn't. So
no, yeah, I think I marathoned that. I did a straight run through, and it was 22 hours.
Yeah, I mean, like I said that I've sat down twice to get through an episode, and it's like I've got 2 hours, and I'm gonna get to where I can get. And so my 2 hours is up, and I'm still going, you know, like that's it's a full title, and it's not even a mainline title in the series. I mean, it's not like it's Life is Strange 2. So I feel really bad to still be playing that, but that's what I'm playing.
It is available on mobile, by the way.
Oh, is it?
I knew Life is Strange was. I didn't know if Before the Storm was yet or not, so I just checked, and it is. Which
you
is
need
cool,
to pick that up,
yet,
sir.
So,
you need to pick it up on mobile.
I played through a little bit of Life is Strange on mobile just because I wanted to know how it works, and you get, like, the first episode free, I think. And so I played, like, half the first episode on my iPad, and it actually works really well. It's a game that makes a lot of sense on a mobile device, and so, yeah, I very may pick that up.
And
so.
And for those of you that wonder, like, the reason I'm, at this point, why I'm working as hard as I'm working so that I can make money, so I can get back to Tommy, so that we can actually create the content that we were supposed to create before I lost my voice.
By the way, I'll give a quick plug for anybody who hasn't donated over on Patreon yet. It's a good time to do it, because you can hear Jamie's sad, pathetic, terrible voice.
Oh, man, it was horrible.
It was entertaining. So.
It was the worst thing ever.
It was pretty rough. So, that said, the little bit of time we got left, let's talk some Red Dead. And so, Josh, I'm going to bring you back in on Red Dead just to get some, what are your thoughts about that game?
Yeah, I look, full disclosure, I'm only up to, I think, the very start of Chapter 3.
Yep. That's funny.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty impressed by the story so far, and the detail of the world is just mind-blowing. I mean, I bought it on PS4, I got the digital version, and it's like a 95 gigabyte download or something like that. No. Absolutely enormous. But you can see where all of that data has gone towards the world, and the sheer detail in it is incredible. I was pretty... So Red Dead, the first one, was one of my top games of all time. Absolutely loved it. Loved the world. Loved the story. And I really loved John Marston, the main character. So I was always a bit skeptical about exactly where they were going to go with a Red Dead 2. They said early on it was going to be a prequel, and I was a bit worried. I didn't think they'd be able to do a good job without ruining some of... The continuity with the first one. But I have to say, again, I'm, you know, still only relatively early on in the game, but I'm pretty impressed with the direction I've taken it. And even though John Marston is in it, it's pretty good to see his character at this stage as well. So the other problem with these open world games is I get really distracted really easily doing, you know, side missions and other activities. My favorite thing to do in this game is just hunting. Like, I just spend hours just hunting animals, which is ironic because, like, I'm actually a vegetarian, but my favorite
awesome.
Thing in this game is, yeah, to go hunting, and it's, yeah, it's fantastic.
Look, getting lost in Red Dead's, like, one of the greatest things you can do. Like,
yeah.
Tommy put video up for the first time in about 3 weeks, and he was like, I was grading papers while I was doing this, so I didn't do anything, but I watched it, and like, I laughed out loud when you're riding next to that guy and you like kicked him in the head.
I know.
You're going along there and Arthur kicks that dude in the head. I just busted out loud. And like,
It was this random dude that was just like this kid sitting by a river, like skipping rocks, complaining about a girl and whatever. And it was fascinating. It was just fun. And then like, he just walked off and I'm like, I'm just going to follow him to see where he goes. But I was kind of playing the game, grading some stuff. I wasn't paying close attention. And so I was following him on my horse, and I just got too close to him. I ran into him with my horse. He like took off running after I'd been following him all this time. I was so sad. And that's all I accomplished in like an hour of gameplay in Red Dead 2. It's a fantastic game. And the controls are what do you, let me ask you, Josh, really quick, before I go to Cabbage on it. What do you think about the controls?
I don't think they're that bad. I mean, there's definitely, it seems like a deliberate decision to slow the game down. So especially compared to the first one, the gunplay is just night and day. It's a lot more slower pace. I will say my biggest annoyance actually with the controls has been what I find is inconsistency with cocking the weapon in between shots. Like sometimes it does it. Sometimes I have to manually do it. Other times I'll, you know, just fire off a round at a bystander. Like it's, that's probably my biggest gripe. So, but otherwise I don't mind the style of controls that they've applied to it. Okay. But yeah, it's also, there's a lot of depth to the controls. And so there's a lot of complexity, like switching between your inventory, and it's context sensitive. So if you're on your horse, it's different, and that can get a bit confusing as well, but
You get anyway. Used to it. It grows on you.
Yeah.
Cabbage, your thoughts?
So I kind of agree with what he said there in terms of the controls. That is an annoying thing with the guns. Like you'll be shooting, and the idea that they want to do there is like, well, you got to press the trigger again to cock the gun. And then you got to press it another time to shoot the bullet. But I could never, like, totally get into a rhythm with that. It always felt a little weird. It also felt really sensitive with certain guns. Like, if you have the double barrel shotgun or something, like, you basically have to, like, barely push that trigger to just shoot the one shell. Because if you just want to hit, like, one guy, and it's like, it's enough to kill him. I don't want to waste both on him. But most of the time, I'd, like, be in, like, a frantic battle, and so I'd accidentally press it too hard, and it would just, like, waste both of them on him, you know, that kind of stuff. So Rockstar's gunplay has gotten better, but it's still a little iffy.
Yeah, GTA, it's all just shoot everything in GTA, and you might get somebody.
Yeah. But like you're saying, this game is so deliberate in its pacing, and that shows through so much of how the game controls. They really wanted you to slow down and just play this game. Like the idea is like you're just gonna sit down and get immersed in this, and you're gonna like it or not, I guess. The game is designed that way, like in basically every way. Like everything is so deliberate and all that, and a lot of people have problems with that, and I mostly didn't. It just depends on what the situation or what I was trying to do, because I bought into like that notion pretty quickly. Like I got what they were doing, and I was like, I'm kind of with this because this is different. It fits with like what the game's trying to do in terms of its story and its setting. Like I get why this game is designed so fully around the idea of just like slowing down and taking the time with each thing you're doing. And you got to clean your gun, and then you got to clean the horse, and you got to feed the horse and all this stuff. And like, I think it's just, it's a risk, and it didn't pay off with some people, although it mostly got good reviews. And I think most people online were pretty positive about it just in terms of like the average gamer. But definitely I've seen a lot of people just be like, oh, this is trash, and this game was hyped up and ended up being so boring and and meandering with all this stuff. And it's like, well, I liked that, I guess.
You know what I thought? Like, and I don't, like, it's going to sound absurd for me to say this, but if you have horses and you have guns, to some extent, that stuff, you have to do that stuff. Like,
yeah, that's what they were trying to do.
It is very deliberate, and it is very, like, you've got to do that. So, because, like, we talked about it on the show when he first started playing it. This is the best parts of how we grew up. Like, I have horses out in the front of my house, and a lot of the stuff that you do would be necessary if you were actually doing it. And the little things that you notice, like the cocking and firing of the weapon, that's why it's so obvious. Because if you know anything about that stuff, you know how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so blatant. But I feel like Tom and I think we're gonna be retired before he.
and I want to say a couple things with the game, because everybody knows what's good about the game. I don't need to say, and almost everything somebody's gonna say is good about it, I'll probably be like, yep, it is. So a problem with the game, and it sounds like a lot of people have not gotten very far in the game. I did finish it, which took a long time because I was also getting distracted by things like hunting has been mentioned. The hunting is great. Again, another thing where it's like, not, you don't just go hunt an animal, okay, in this game. What you have to do is you have to plan. You have to, like, you actually have to plan like a hunter would, not completely, not like absolutely realistically, but just realistically enough to where it feels like super badass. Like, I would plan like hunting trips in this game. Essentially, it's like, okay, I'm going to go camp, I'm going to go hunt, but I have to plan like what weapons I'm using, what ammo I'm using. I have to make sure I have cover scent, because if I don't, I have to stay like not upwind from the animal because my smell will go to, like, this is all crazy stuff. And you have to hit it in the right way so that you don't damage the pelt. All this stuff, I thought that stuff was great. But but in terms of like the length of the game, I think even if you don't do any of the side stuff, people have said it takes at least 40 to 50 hours, like even if you just mainline everything, and that makes sense based on the time I spent. I do think the game has points where they're just trying like too hard to make it as big as possible, as long as possible. I think the ending portion of the game, and I'll be vague because I don't spoil anything, but like there's an ending portion of the game that is that just, even though in the moment I was enjoying it because at the time I was so like almost fanboying about it, like it does, when I think back, it's like it kind of overstays its welcome a good amount, and it's trying to do things that like the first Red Dead did really effectively that this game's almost trying to recapture, and it just doesn't really quite do it. Which is a problem for a lot of things, especially if you're trying to do a prequel, which this is. I don't want to say a lot because, again, I'm trying to not spoil, but that's a problem with it. I think the game's a little bit too long. It should have ended a good amount before it did, maybe like 10 hours or so before it did. Because then you'd still have a 30 or 40 hour game, which is way longer than most single player games, unless you're talking about some huge RPG. So there's that.
I was going to say, even though I haven't played the sequel yet, I did play the original Red Dead and loved it. And do you think that to some degree Rockstar is also trying to differentiate these games from stuff like, you know, Far Cry 5 and Just Cause and Saints Row and Fortnite to some degree, the games where you're just, like you guys are saying, it's just calamitous carnage going on everywhere. and it almost becomes silly, where, you know, even some of the Call of Duty games are going that direction, where this is deliberate pacing to give someone a, you know, an immersive type narrative story that that's paced properly. And it's not just craziness going on. And I think, you know, even Horizon Zero Dawn, the one that I just played, to some degree was a nice balance between those two. It sounds like this one's even a little bit more deliberate, but do you think that's part of their thing, is they want to be taken seriously?
No, that's absolutely what they're doing. Yeah. And I think that it's effective in doing that, but I think there's points where it just feels like they're trying too hard to be like, you need to live in this moment and spend 3 hour plus in this moment. And it's like, you know, thinking back, it's like, I don't want to go through some of this stuff again. Like, so it's not really a spoiler, because I'm not saying anything specific, but the game has like an epilogue. And if I'm ever going to play through the game fully again, I'm not going to play that part again, because it's just not that enjoyable. Like, I get what they were doing with the story, and it's pretty effective, because the voice acting in this game is like maybe the best ever. So like the acting moments, the cutscene moments in that epilogue are great, but the gameplay is not. It totally overstays its welcome. It's a complete bloated kind of mess. And I just think they were trying way too hard to set things up for the next game. That's just unnecessary. But they did effectively through most of the game, like, be their very specific, like, lived in thing. Like, they want to tell a pretty serious story. That does clash with systems, though, that you can try to experiment with in just playing it, that I don't know if we'll get into that, because I spent almost already too much time talking about this, but because I have other problems with the game that I realized after, because what I did was I played through once as trying to be as good as possible, but I realized when I started another game and I played through like maybe the first couple chapters in that playthrough, I was like, okay, I'll just try to see how bad I can be. When you try to be as bad as you can be, the game's flaws just show themselves, like, really blatantly. Because I think the game, this is a tough thing we're doing with games right now, is we want to tell serious adult stories. But if you're a rock star where you have an expectation of big open world freedom, you also kind of want to do that. But they couldn't quite, and this is a big complicated thing, I'm not trying to judge them too much, but like, They couldn't quite get a way of like trying to tell the narrative they're doing with this character, but also have the freedom when you're in control outside of the cutscenes to do whatever you want. Like, there's a little bit of a disconnect between the attention to the story and then with what the player's allowed to do. And it's a tough thing with video games because of how video games inherently work. It's not a movie. You're not just going to watch how they designed it for you. You're also supposed to have this freedom too. So it's like, there's some problems that are highlighted there.
Going back to where we started, talk about the Game Awards and why I really thought God of War would get best narration. That was maybe my biggest surprise from the show, is that God of War doesn't allow you that freedom. It holds your hand. It makes you go a certain direction. It's a pretty linear game, even though it's a quote unquote open world game. You could explore in it, and that's cool, but it's limited in where you can explore, and the quest line, the actual narrative of it, is very directed to make you play through it a certain way. Like, you can't make Kratos different than Kratos is. And I feel like they want Arthur Morgan to be this certain character, and you have an option to break that character, and then it just kind of, like, then the narration falls apart if you don't play it in that style. I also want to just really quickly... Firestorm, I think, made a great point on them trying to do something different. I think the game that they're most trying to differentiate Red Dead from is Grand Theft Auto.
Because Grand Theft
Auto lets you do all the crazy, and you could just like blow up the entire world and then go hide for a while, and everything goes back to normal. And like in Red Dead, like I like accidentally bump somebody with my horse, and like now I have a level, and like it. I gotta go pay a bounty, and you know, like
that's getting into some of my problems I have with the game.
Yeah, it's very, very different than even what Rockstar has done. So, good discussion. We need to wrap up. There's much more to talk about with Red Dead.
One more thing before we do wrap up, I will say, I'm curious to know how I'm gonna feel at the end of it, because I know it's a 50-hour title. and I don't care. Like, for all the talking that we do about we don't have time and we try to avoid 50-hour titles, this one, I don't care.
Yeah, there's games that are worth it. This is definitely one that's worth it.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. It's one of the best games to come out in years.
Yes.
Not perfect, which no game is, but it's fantastic. And we will be talking about it more because we're going to be playing it for at least the next 3 years.
I think I need to do like a segment to flesh out the things I have.
Yes,
Stu.
And can I say this? Can I? Because we're adults and we play games and take this seriously. If you want to do a segment and have some spoilers in there, I really don't care.
No, I don't have any need to. My biggest issues with it are gameplay stuff, so no need to spoil the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. But we do need to wrap up, so thank you guys for being here, and thank you guys, of course, for your support. We appreciate it a ton. Firestorm, specifically, being your first time on the roundtable, we're glad you're here. It's fun to have you, and we look forward to having you on the next one and all the ones after that. So.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, which was awesome. We will be back hopefully relatively soon with a roundtable because we've been slacking on everything, honestly, for about the past month. But we'll be back hopefully within a few weeks with another table, and we'll be back sooner than that with a regular show. So anything else we need before we wrap up?
The show brought to you by Duff.
Yeah, sure. You'll hear the production here in just a second, but sure enough, who is not here, but we would be remiss if we did not thank Duff as well, because Duff is awesome. And Chad, who's not here, and we're a little less sad about that, but thanks, Chad. We gotta get that dig in on Chad before we wrap up. So all that being said, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.